thank you again. And truly, Lord, we do thank you. For, Lord, even when we consider what might have been, it causes us to reflect on you and to certainly rejoice in you, because there is no greater salvation than we have come to know in Christ Jesus. And again, Lord, it is our prayer that we would be most assured of our salvation in you. No other name, no other God, no other King, no other Lord. So, Lord, we bless you today, and we certainly are very grateful, most grateful indeed, that you have allowed us to rise from our sleeping places. And you've given us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. You opened our eyes and put strength in our limbs. And, Lord, we did what Paul said. We pressed our way. And, Lord, we didn't come today because we just wanted to be in fellowship. We came because we wanted to hear from you. And so, God, will you speak to us as loud as you need to? Lord, would you drown out as much as you need to drown out, that we would hear your voice above everything, above the doctor's report, above the pending court date, above struggling finance, above difficulty, above even the presence of those who conflict us, concern us. You need to be first. And God, we want to acknowledge that your firstness is life-changing. Your word declares if we would seek first the kingdom, that you would do so many things and add so many things. And so, God, in this hour, we want to present ourselves before you as if this may be our last hour. And so, God, give us what we need. And, Lord, forgive us of our sins, we pray. And, Lord, if you would do these things for us, we can't make you any promises, Lord, but we'll make our pledge that we would walk with you. And, God, we trust you. And, Lord, if you would just bless our neighbor, the stranger, and make us, Lord, one people together, what a great opportunity that would be for us to go out from this place, tell the dying world about the risen Savior. Open our eyes now, we pray, and our ears, and massage our hearts that they would be as fertile ground. And these words, Lord, as they fall fresh, would you, Lord, make them seeds that they'll bring forth fruit in their season? Thank you, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've covered some territory, and we've got yet much territory to cover, but we want to keep on the course that we can again create this character that is in Christ Jesus. How many of you have ever had a role model or somebody that you kind of looked up to or looked across the room and said, man, I wish I was like them? Nobody? Oh, y'all heads. Oh, okay. I thought maybe y'all had a little thing back there, a little twitch. And you know that. And in all reality, that's really what we're trying to create in the dynamic of Christian development. All of us need to be somebody. Somebody ought to look at. And you want that. You really would want that. And part of what we've looked at over the months and probably years for a lot of us is trying to look at this development. And who do we want to be like? I mean, who's really your role model? Who's really the image of what Christianity would be? And I grew up in the church back home. It was really impressive to me, but it was also intimidating because I saw these people. And here's the thing I had to realize. I think you probably realize it, too, now you've gotten older. You only saw them people on Sunday. You didn't have no car. You couldn't go nowhere. And the only time you saw them was on Sunday because mama took you to church or dad have you. And so that, but the image of those people, you know, I mean, I remember seeing deacons and I thought all they had was black suits and black ties and white shirts. They never wore pink shirts like they just wore black shirts. I mean, white shirts with black ties. And I thought, you know, okay, that's what a deacon. And part of that was the reason I didn't want to be no deacon. I figured that's all they got, black clothes. But those guys conducted themselves in a spiritual manner, which was intimidating. Because I thought they just knew how to pray like that all the time. I thought they did stuff for the pastor because they just loved him and had nothing else to do but him. I really thought that servants of God only served God. I didn't know they had another lifestyle. I didn't even know who they were married to. I saw them. Their wives sit with the other ladies in the AME church, and they have stewards rather than trustees and such. But the movement of deaconess wasn't really that powerful back then. If you were a deacon's wife, you were just certainly expected to conduct yourself and to sit among the deacon's wives and not to shame your husband. And to, your kids had to keep their little snotty nose clean, and, you know, you were the deacon's children. And the same thing with the mothers of the church. Those ladies seemed to me that all they did was care for the church. They were always straightening up and tidying. And I thought to myself, wow. And the Sunday school teachers, I thought that all they did was got ready to talk about God. But I kept getting older. I started driving. I started going places. And so my point to you is there's a character that really we ought to have. That maybe somebody sitting in our church, you know, this young lady sitting back here ought to be looking at some little bit older lady and saying, man, you know, when we get married, people ought to see how we change from being single and available to married and committed. And, you know, and there are marriages like our poor sister here whose marriage just went, you know, and she swore off it. Look at it. And she never again. The Lord may have sent many a good man, and she missed. No, I'm just kidding. Take that part out. I'm just kidding. But my point is, and I always leave my little toy they gave me. But my point is that we're trying to develop and strengthen and create these disciplined lives, and the course doesn't have an end date. I'm telling you now, and I don't mean to upset you. God bless you, Sister Wilson, and happy birthday to you. God bless you. Amen. You got a little cake you want to give us, and I pray to be as old as Sister Woodson. Not at the same time, but eventually. But we've got to do that because there is no other place that is as interested in your life as I am here. And you've got a lot of friends and people who love you, but we've got to develop something. There's something about this biblical principle. Life that you really need to say, this is the most important thing I've got to do. And a lot of you are smart people. God bless you. You've been educated and you know things about the world. But what you know about the world should really pale in comparison. Watch this is what I'm going to say. Not as much as what you know about God, but what you are in God. Because, you know, much learning is wonderful. You know, they said to Paul, much learning has made you mad. Paul said, I wish you was as crazy as I am so you can live like I live. And so the reality for us is not so much that we know this, but that we be this. Okay? And so we talked about that, and there have been some things that happened. So last week, when we were talking about these heat checks, you know, we went through 1 John 4 and some things we talked about. But what we wanted to do in the heat check verse, again, was verse 6. You don't have to turn back to it. But the thing I was trying to get you to understand is that's the exposure that you really have to deal with. You look different with your hair like that. I just look and say, oh, that's Kim. Thank you. God bless you. I'm at the age now when I notice something, I have to say it because I forget it. But, you know, it's the exposure. And here's what upsets people about pastoral influence and pastoral enforcement. When we expose people, they get mad. We're really trying to help you. It's the same thing you do when you go to your doctor. When he finds it, then he can help you. No, it's not comfortable. No, it's not the most. I mean, how many of you have ever been embarrassed about going to the doctor and having to take your clothes off? And you have to, they, you know, they put you in there and they leave you. And you start thinking, I'm sitting up in here in my birthday suit with this little wrap on. Anybody can walk through that door. Y'all ever had that? Anybody can walk through the door. And sometimes it happens. Somebody go, oops, wrong room. And you're like, see there? I knew that was going to happen. Or, the, you know, and so when the doctor says, you know, if, how many of you have had a colonoscopy? Isn't that humiliating? Yeah. And then they tell you, we'll see you in 3 years. The devil is a liar. But it's necessary. especially if you're African American. If you are at the age of about 40, you really need to have a colonoscopy. I mean, it's just, I mean, yeah, it is something. But, you know, I'm just one of them crazy people that figure, what the heck, okay, let's go. You know, but it's kind of like exposure. And, when you know, you're thinking what they're going to do. And how many of you had that horrible dream before you had your colonoscopy that I'll be the one that this machine goes crazy and just go and just rips me apart and I'll lay there and die. And you know, when you come out of it, you're like, it's over. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's the same embarrassment, I suggest, in this biblical development, because we have to get to the root of things. Some of you will never struggle with the same thing. Some of you have no issues whatsoever as it relates to alcohol or drugs or adultery or you know, pornographic issues or cussing or, you know, I mean, some of y'all have none of them things whatsoever. And so, in fact, sometimes you tune me out. You say, well, I ain't going to do that. But that's not what you ought to do. We're really trying to look at how to become holy as unto God. Not as unto the pastor, I'm trying to impress the deacons. How many of you, whenever certain people come around, change your character? You know, certain people, you know, you tighten up a little bit. And you know, that's a discipline. You know not to do things around certain people because, you know, there's an expectation that goes with that. You know, I say this a lot about social media. Twitter and Facebook and those things are dangerous if you got a quick trigger. Because, you know, we've all heard instances where people have said something and tried to delete it. You can't delete it. It's out there. And somebody read it and heard it. And so part of what we're trying to arm ourselves with in Christianity is that we don't expose ourselves for the other character. So we really want to eliminate all of those other characters and have one character. One way, one life, one dynamic. And so, you know, when we talked about that last week, it was important to understand that there's an encouragement to it. And I wanted to say that to you again because, you know, when I read over this stuff sometimes, I have to keep telling myself, I got babies here sometime. All of you except, Lord, I can't remember the baby's name, but she's the youngest one in here right now. But I have to remember that it ain't your age that I'm dealing with. It's your spiritual capacity. Amen. And folk leave our church because of low spiritual capacities or tolerances and go, I don't want to be no church. I want to, you know, listen. Church was never designed for you just to clap your hand, pat your feet, and feel so wonderful about yourself. It was really designed to get in your face and tell you that you don't look like God yet. You don't sound like God yet. You need to get back in there and do some more of that God stuff. And so when we do that, please don't be offended by it as much as you ought to say, you know what? I can do that. He got me. And so, excuse me. Now, the other side of that is there are always going to be people, and this is the part I want to set up for you. There are always going to be people who are going to lie to you and tell you how wonderful you are. And that, you know, you just clap your hands, baby, and praise God, and you're going to be fine. And they tell you things that are not the absolute truth of God. They don't want to expose you because they know that exposed people tend to get a little offensive. And so the Bible calls them false teachers. If you are in a church and you never get a heat check, something wrong. Yeah. You need a heat check. You need something to make you go, ooh, I need to stop doing that. Or, wow, I was wrong. I've said to you before that sometimes we ought to keep our phones handy so in the middle of the sermon when the realities hit us that we have done things to people and done things improperly, we ought to send people a message and say, I am so sorry. Because you do know you ain't always right. Me neither. You know, it happens to me. I've had moments when I'm studying or putting a note together and say, boy, do you really want to teach that? Because you might start confessing right in the middle of your class. And the folk will know that you're just like everybody else. And I am. I am as pastoral as I can be. But my wife will probably tell you, and she'll write a book if I die before she do. She'll make a lot of money, you know. Pastor's Wife Story Revealed. They'll probably do a reality show. And some of you might get to be characters. But the fact of the matter is, isn't that what we want? I mean, isn't that what we really should have desired when we said, be transformed by the renewing of our mind? When we said we want to be one with God? when we were told that no unclean thing can dwell therein, didn't we think, are they talking about me? Did you ever get that personal with it? When he talks about those things, when he said, when the word of God is revealed to you, it ought to make you adjust. Because you aren't perfect. You are not living the most disciplined life yet. You don't have to get old to get saved. When you can't do nothing, then all of a sudden you're bragging about what you don't do. Well, let's roll back the carpet and see what you swept under is gone by. That ain't what you need to do. You don't need to wait till you're old to be a good Christian. You got to live now, holy unto God. And so, let's look at what he says. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians first. We'll go there first, and then we're going to roll and go a little faster so I can catch up with you and get back to where we almost were. False teachers are interesting people. Mm-hmm. They're interesting people. I've told you before that new wave Christianity with television and streaming videos and stuff like that has really probably hurt us more than it's helped us, to be honest with you. I just, that's my opinion, not because we're not capable of doing it big like that yet, but I just think that when you do that big, you ought to have a responsibility that's greater than the local community that you serve in. Because what I'm, even now, we got these people that listen to us, God bless y'all, on podcasts and stuff, and our numbers keep growing there. They don't necessarily grow here like I'd like to see them, but there are a lot of people out there listening to me, and I have to realize that all of them don't live in Lynchburg. You know, so I can't just, you know, try to do this thing for the flavor of Lynchburg. We have a responsibility globally as Christians. Because I've told you before that no matter where you go, you're still a Christian. You don't have to wear no big badge and put on no big cross and have no bumper stickers, but God sees you. And if you're a pastor or a minister or a leader, deacon, trustee, or whatever, you know, if you have any high calling in Christ Jesus locally, you have that same high calling in Christ Jesus everywhere you go. Y'all know me. I'm an advocate of having a wonderful time. Go to Central Fay. Go to Belize. Have a great time. Don't send us back no cheap souvenirs. You just come on back and tell us because we don't want that. But you still got to be a Christian. Amen. And so let's look at what Paul said to the Corinthian church. All right. Are you there? Okay. Turn to what I say, chapter 5. Did I say chapter 5? I didn't say any chapter. Okay. I'm saying 5 now. Mm-hmm. Everybody there? All right, look at we go to verse 11. Verse 11 says, it is because we know this solemn fear of the Lord that we work so hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you are too in this, that I hope you are too. Are we trying to pat ourselves on the back again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart before God. See, that's important. That's really important. And this is not just for me. This is for us. He said, no, we're not trying to pat ourselves on the back. You know, sometimes people accuse committed Christians of certain arrogance or conceit or you just think you ought to. No, it's not that. It's really so that you can see that this is a possibility that's a reality for you. There's a struggle between possibility and reality for a lot of people. There are those of us who say, man, I sure would like to, but don't do what we need to do to do. You cannot dream about being an astronaut and never learn aeronautics and stuff like that. I mean, you can't. Paul said, listen, what we're really trying to do is make sure that what you say is what you become. He said, we're taking this thing of fear and turn it into a motivator rather than saying, oh, I can't. No, listen, you are made by God. Yes, you are. You are, every one of you. And part of what I'm, you know, in this little greatness series I'm on, I'm trying to get you to just wrap your head around it. Get a grip and realize you've not been cheated. God hasn't cheated you. You know who cheats you? You do. You cheat you. When you quit, when you lay down, when you whine and complain, when you don't press toward the mark, when you don't rise up, when you won't listen, when you won't learn, you cheat you. And you don't have to get an attitude with the pastor or the leader or those who encourage you. There are people who are mad at their parents because they push them. I just want to be me. I don't want to be what you want me to be. Let me be myself. You don't know how to be yourself. You brought nothing in and you're going to carry less than nothing out if you don't let me help you. There's an AT&T commercial that comes on now. Y'all know my wife tells me all the time, I'm too sensitive about everything. But there's an AT&T commercial that comes on and there's these two grown folk in the store and there's mom and dad and the lady's explaining these phone plans and the mom and dad walk over and the lady says, well, you can get four lines for $160. And the son goes, oh, that's great. And the dad goes, it would be even greater if you and your sister moved out. And he looks at his dad and goes, that's not going to happen. I said to myself, I want to bust him in his head. And I know it's a commercial, but how do you stand there in the store and tell him, oh, that's not going to happen? The devil is a liar. I told my wife, we saw that. I said, let him come home today and see what happened. She said, that's a commercial. He's standing there looking, oh, that's not going to happen. And his sister going, I say, God, don't let my children ever say that to me. Listen, you cannot be what you don't endeavor. You don't get to take no free ride. Paul said, listen, we are trying to tell you something. Because people are looking at you and people hear you. Your cubicle don't stop your voice from traveling over the top of it. There is no more privacy in America. There are cameras everywhere. Drones are flying over our heads. The old days of just somebody eavesdropping are gone. Everything you do with your smartphone is recorded somewhere. There are no deleted text messages. There are no deleted photos. And somebody always wants to check your character. That's why when people mess up, we are so happy to jump on the bandwagon of destruction. There are few of us who really go put our arms around people anymore and say, listen, God will make a way. How many of you have been keeping up with the Ray Rice issue? Yeah. Oh, my God. That's what we do. So everything Ray Rice ever did is now being questioned. He's a football player. They ain't that smart. Coach, I'm sorry. Coach is probably sitting there going, yeah, you're right, Pastor. They're not that smart. I mean, he you know, what he did has very little to do with the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens hired him to run the football. That's really all they care about. And they're trying to be nice now and act like they're really concerned about him, putting him in therapy. Hey, listen, don't show up and run. We'll cut you. And we won't have to worry about you no more. And Janae, whatever her name is, apparently she decided to stay. I can bet you this, and this is just my hypothetical. Imagine, it ain't the first time. Ain't the first time. His character didn't just flip in that elevator. Just like with the Beyonce and Solange and Jay-Z elevator thing. That ain't the first time her and Jay-Z done got into it. Just happened to be a camera. And that's what's going to happen to some of us. Until we are exposed, we ain't going to change. But as soon as we get exposed, we're going to want everybody to pray for us and help us. We're going to enroll in programs. They didn't go to counseling until they got exposed. They should have been in counseling. That's what's going to happen in the church. Some folk ain't going to come in here till hell coming down on them. Then they're going to want to run to the church, pastor lay hands, pray. They're going to get in every little ministry group. They're going to get alliances and mentor. They're going to go to Minister White and say, teach me how to be a woman of God, Minister White, until the exposure threat is eliminated. Until the report changes where we start saying, what a wonderful character she has become. And then when that is gone, we'll ease back slowly into our foolishness. And then we'll say things like, well, I didn't find what I wanted there. I was looking for more. You were never looking for more. You got the weight off yourself now. God done blessed you again. Paul said, let me tell you something. We have a responsibility. Now, watch this. Let me read it again. He said, listen, it is because we know this solemn fear of the Lord. See, let me tell you something. It's 2014. There ain't a whole lot of folk who fear God no more. And Paul's going to address that later. And we'll talk about it in another series I want to talk about later on. But Paul says, some of y'all kept telling people, you false teachers, that because Jesus ain't here yet, he ain't coming. So they stopped fearing. They stopped getting ready. How many of you have ever been called by somebody and said, listen, I'm on the way. And you say, oh my goodness, I didn't know you was coming. And you had to hurry and get ready. How many of you have procrastinated and said, oh, shoot, she ain't never on time. I got plenty of time. Yeah. Listen to what he says. He said, what we're doing is working hard to persuade others. You want to help me grow this church? You want to grow your church? You need to start working hard to persuade. I'm not saying, you'll come to church with me and them. Okay, that's fine. Persuasion is proactive and gritty. Y'all get quiet when I talk like a pastor. He said, we're working hard. Most of us ain't put in 10 minutes to get nobody to do nothing in Christ Jesus. We cheat ourselves out of what we ought to be doing. We walk around saying, you know, the Lord said, be ye also ready. And if I said, listen, I need you to teach, you'd be looking at me like, what? If I said, I need you to do something, you ain't ready because you haven't worked hard. You sitting around waiting on somebody else to cook for you and feed you and rub your feet and pat you on your head. You need to get busy as kingdom developers. And ain't no such thing as you too old. I just told you, you have greatness in you. God don't pick no slugs. Ain't no second string with God. All y'all are first line. Yes, sir, we deep like that, but you got to believe it. And he said, listen, you will never have in God what you could have in God if you don't get it from God. See, we got fakers, too. You know, we go down somewhere and that's my lay hands on us and tell us we've been called to preach. And then we get mad because somebody said, no, I don't think you've been called to preach. You've been called to learn. The bishop told me that the anointing was on me. Well, the bishop should have told you to go wash your face. Because oil all over your skin will make pimples. You go with false teachers. There's always somebody with a game. People look at you and size you up. Any of y'all ever been scammed? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. But people size you up. They look at you and say, yep, that's the one. Let's try her. The Bible says if the strong man had known. If you've ever had somebody give you this prophecy or somebody give, you have to ask yourself, is that really me? You know that ain't you, but you let them because they're false. And I'm going to show you when we get over 2 Peter. He says a lot of them. He said they're going to take advantage of this eager generation. We're in that information stage, technology, ITT. You know, there are IT people now. They didn't have IT people years ago. Information technologies is an industry now. Because if you can tell people stuff or get it out first, you become a change agent. That's why Google and Yahoo and all those people are racing to get faster and faster and faster and faster so they can put it out first. You draw an audience when you become a change agent. That's why people watch Entertainment Tonight. Entertainment Tonight, those of you who are a little bit older, remember when Entertainment Tonight first came out, it was really kind of a news-driven celebrity thing. Now it's all about gossip, who's skirt too short, who had on their naked behind showing, who exposed their boobs, you know, all that kind of stuff, who looks like what without their makeup. And people flocked to watch Entertainment Tonight. What was that girl named that insured her legs for millions of dollars that used to cross her legs on Entertainment Tonight when it first came out? Yeah, she was the face of Entertainment Tonight. You know what happened to her? She got old. And they got rid of her. One time she was the prettiest thing on TV. And all she ever did was sit up there and cross her legs. They paid her to cross her legs at certain times because they knew men liked it. She was a pawn. And when she got 50, she had to go. Why? She wasn't relevant anymore. And now everything on there got implants and weave and makeup artists. And makeup artists mean they got to work with the canvas. How many of you have ever seen a celebrity without their makeup on? I mean, up close. I'm not talking about even the ones you see in a picture got something. Look, get close to one of them one day, and you'll walk right by them and don't even know who they are. Because they have people 6 deep in a trailer. How many of you ever watched Oprah get ready for her show? Let me tell you something. Sophia is Oprah Winfrey. Sophia is Oprah Winfrey. See, you are being fooled because nobody's really working hard with you to persuade you. My responsibility to God is not be your friend. It's be your pastor and persuade you. The hard lesson you need may not be the hard lesson. If you're doing well, I don't have to spend so much time. Can I tell you something? The people who need the doctor most don't never make appointments. I spend a lot of my time with just casual believers when really what I ought to be with is hardheads and knuckleheads and people with schizophrenia, people with issues. Because as long as life is good for them, God is wonderful. But when things start happening, when they really ought to run to God, they get mad. Church ain't did nothing for me anyway. I ain't going to just give my money away. It ain't your money anyway. If your only shallow concept of God is how much money you got to give, you are an ignorant person. Amen. Because money ain't the issue. And I pray you live long enough to realize that money is not your problem. Your problem is stewardship. You don't know how to manage money. Money don't do that. Listen, if you took money and put it down, and don't come take my money. If you took money and sit it in 50 places, it ain't going to do nothing. It's going to stay right where you put it. If y'all Negroes start moving, Kurt, stand right there you want. Well, he might be the wrong one. But, it ain't going to do nothing. It ain't going to bother nobody. It's not a threat to anybody. It's just going to stay right where it is. It's not the money. Look, it ain't doing nothing. It ain't cussing. It ain't stealing. It ain't making you buy nothing. It ain't take you down to no dealership. It didn't sign up for cable. It didn't buy a phone that you know you couldn't afford. It ain't going to do nothing. Money's not the issue. You're the problem. You don't know how to manage, and you won't let nobody teach you. I work for my money. I do anything I want with it. But you always talking about you ain't got nothing. And when somebody want to do a class on finance, I don't need him to tell me nothing. I don't come to church for him to get in my business. Yes, you need me. To be honest with you. Because everybody else obviously lying to you. How many of you ever been with somebody and they just gouge you? I go and get it. They ain't got to pay for it. They ain't got to make no money. Ooh, girl, that's your car there, girl. Girl, let the Lord bless you. Don't hide your blessing. You already getting phone calls from people about a $200 credit card. And you finna buy a $36,000 car because there's no money down. No money down really means you shouldn't be over here. Seriously, no money down means you really shouldn't be in here. And see, for us, we're not working hard enough to persuade others. And then he goes on, he says, so God knows we're sincere. And I hope you know this, too. You know what he's saying? Listen, I love you. I'm not doing this because this is my line of work. I had a job. I don't have a job. This is my life. I don't have a job. This is all I want to do. And I made God some promises. Now, I ain't got to make them to you. I made them to God. But I'm trying to tell you, I'm sincere about this. I ain't got nothing to game you for. Listen, my anniversary ain't until November. about October, I'll start talking about those things. No, just kidding. He said, watch this. Watch this now. He says, are we trying to pat ourselves on the back? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart for God. You need to be able to screen through some stuff and say, wait a minute, dude. All you're talking about is you. Listen, we had a conversation the other day with the preachers at the leadership conference. You know, the pastors and I were talking. And the reality is, nobody care about how many folk come to your church. If your opening statement to me is, I got 6,000 members, so they belong to God. They're not yours. Nobody cares. How many we seat 6,000. How many of them jokers come to Bible study? How many people's lives are y'all changing? If you got 6,000, then you should have 12,000 next Sunday. Because one-on-one ministry declare that every week we go do this. Why? Because we're serious. You know how many people houses you drove by today on your way to church that don't know Jesus? You know how many people we should have encountered this week alone? If we're really about kingdom, we got to work hard to persuade people, and we're sincere about God. Pastors talk about the craziest things sometimes. I look at it and say to myself, I'm not failing because I don't have 6,000 folk. That's not the failure. The failure is in the fact that we are not gaining one at a time. Our responsibility to God is to persuade others. And when you have things in your life that are exposed by God, then you really ought to thank God and then keep going. Shame should not be in the repertoire or the concern of any Christian. Why? Because he paid for your shame. It's already taken care of. Don't let nobody riddle you with what you used to be and give you that, I can't believe you. Yeah, because he paid for it already. That's like somebody paying for something and then you leave it sitting on the counter. You really, you left it? I just didn't feel worthy. That's paid for. The fact that it was paid for had nothing to do with your worthiness. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. That's what God decided to do. He says, okay, all right, well, you're there. You okay? Let's go to chapter 6, and you shouldn't have to turn. It's right across from it. He said in verse 3, he said, we try to live in such a way that no one will be hindered from finding the Lord by the way we act. And so no one can find fault with our ministry. You know what? Can I give y'all a revelation? This ain't my ministry. This is our ministry. I didn't get enough amens. This ain't, don't think, listen, I am not the reason people don't come to Brookville. I'm not the reason we're not growing. I'm not the reason we don't feed enough people. I'm not the reason we don't take up enough money, Brother Chairman. This is our ministry. And he said, we're going to work real hard to live in such a way that nobody, see, you can't run around, I don't care what they say about me. I don't care who don't like me. Yet you should. Because there's a biblical principle to it. I just read it to you. Can I read it to you again? He said, we are trying hard to live in such a way that no one, look at your name and say, no one will be hindered from finding the Lord. So nobody shouldn't say, child, y'all got so-and-so in y'all church? I wouldn't come there for all the tea in China. You need to change what you're doing. And ain't nobody fault but your own, because your grandmama was right. Every tub going to have to sit on its own bottom. Ain't no biblical principle to it, but she was right. Whoever told her that first, whatever old lady said that first, must have been in the bathroom when she said it. Looked at them old legs that the tub stand on and said, you know, every tub got to stand on its own bottom. And the reality for us is, don't overlook that verse. It didn't say the pastor had to be pristine and faultless. It said we got to do it so that nobody can look at our ministry. You are GBC. But more than being GBC, you are a child of God. And you got to live in such a way. I made a comment some weeks ago, and a couple of faces got wrinkled, and I haven't seen them since. But I was being honest. You ain't fooling nobody. All you're doing is exposing yourself by your character, and it ain't our fault. Why get mad at truth when what truth does is make you free? You cannot say that you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you cannot attend to the simple things of God. How are you ever going to be faithful over greater things when you can't be faithful over simple things? He said, listen, we're making sure that we act in such a way, you know, that we don't mess up this kingdom stuff. How many of you ever get home and have to go, whew, when you take your shoes off or you take your, you know, ladies, I know you have certain personals that you have to work your way into and out of. And you go, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Why? Because now you can kind of let it out. You can go, whoo, thank you, know, and hurry up, zip it. You know, that kind of thing is restrictive. And you can't live like that forever. How many of you drive without your shoes on? You know, to kick your shoes off and say, oh, thank you, Lord. And some of us, you know, I can't drive. I don't like drive with coats on. So I take coats off and lay them across the back seat and all that kind of stuff. I like to kind of feel like I can maneuver, you know. But anything that restricts me changes my ability, both mentally and physically, as well as emotionally. And so when we get into the body of Christ, he says, what we really need to do is be honest with ourselves and take away all of the things that make us pretend that we might become a reality. And when people see us in our reality, how many of you have ever had somebody show up at your house and before you can answer the door, you got to do something? You know, you got to put on a little hat or your scarf or your house dress or whatever, you know. And really, again, who you are when you're most comfortable is who you really are. See, we get tense about coming to church. We do a lot of things to change who we are when we come. That's why we wear suits and ties. And you know, there are things that we wear to church that we don't wear other places. And there are things we do on our way to church that we don't do going to other places. But the reality for us is there's a you under there that's screaming, hurry up, let's get this over with. Before I say something I ain't got no business to say. Before I think like I really think. You know, if little bubbles came above y'all heads, how much trouble would you get in? Yeah, you know them little bubbles on cartoons. You know, right now, if little bubbles popped up, how many of y'all are saying something you wish that little bubble didn't? Yeah. Amen. And that's just the reality. I'm not, you know, again, let me tell you something. Learn how to laugh at yourself. Because I'm laughing at y'all already. I know y'all. Here it is. He says, we got to make sure that the exposure, the thing we talked about from 1 John and all, he said, we got to make sure that we're doing something. Now, watch this. He said in verse 4, he said, in everything we do, we try to show that we are true ministers of God. Now, watch this. We patiently endure troubles and hardship and calamities of every kind. He talks about being beaten, facing mocking. Listen, that's just life. See, now, y'all ain't got none of that happening. Ain't nobody beating on y'all and that kind of thing. But he says, as ministers, and all of you are ministers. No, I'm not going to give you no paper. I'm not going to give you nothing. No, you have a responsibility as disciples of God to show forth Christ, your administration of the gifts. As wives, you're ministers to your husbands. As husbands, you're ministers to your wives. As parents, you're ministers to your children. As friends and neighbors, you're ministers to each other. You know, care ye one for the other. If your neighbor's hungry, you feed him. You know, that's ministry. You don't just become a ministry person because you come to the church. But when you come to the church, you better understand ministry. Now we've learned. Oh, so that's what I was really doing all the time. And I've said it before. If you ever change the way you think, you're really going to change the way you live. If you really start seeing yourself as a full-time minister of God, Your whole life's going to change. Your wife is going to get a better husband. Your husband's going to have a better wife if you realize that you're ministering to him. And you'll stay happy. Because he said, we have this ministry in these jars of clay. We have this thing of God that is more precious than anything. See, you think like that, everything changes. When you think that what you're doing for your children, what you're doing on your job is a God thing, that God has gifted you for nursing and education and maintenance and ministry. You're sitting there saying, I hate my job. Then when you start saying, wait a minute, God gave me this. I'm doing my God thing out here. So I said, what are you humming about? I'm just talking to Jesus right now. Because, child, this is a God thing. The way these flows look is a God thing. When people walk into my section, they'll say, who cleans up over? Who's in charge over here? Ministry. And ministry will require of us to do it wholly as unto the Lord. And he didn't say in some things. See, what we got to learn how to do is get over taking this prescription drug called Sundayitis. You take that pill every Sunday morning and it's time released. It starts kicking in around 9:30. And then by about 1:15, it's done its thing. Now, Reverend, we need to go because it's time for me to eat. I got to feed my family. Got things I got to do. You're on that drug. We're addicted to Sundayitis. Most of us don't take the Thursday version or the Wednesday version. We take that pill one day a week. We get up in the morning around 8:30 and say, Lord, here I go. Got to go up here with the pastor because I don't sure if he's going to be looking at me, my face all cross-eyed, and he don't know. I ain't feeling it today, so he better not say nothing to me. I do not wear robes all the time. You want it? Come on. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. I don't have no violence, no blaze, no bows. Leave your weapons here. The reality for us is you on a drug that you shouldn't be taking. He said in everything. Read the verse. He said in everything we're doing. Think about that. Give yourself a quick quiz. Don't do the whole week since you left here. Just do the last 3 days. Can you really say honestly that if God evaluated you based on the last 3 days, that you get a good grade? Paul says, here it is. He said, in everything we do, we try to show that we are true ministers of God. Did they tell you where we were? I'm sorry. Okay. That we're true ministers of God. You're not my minister. You owe me nothing. And y'all need to get that out of y'all head that y'all doing me a favor. There is nothing that any of y'all do that I can't do myself. Nothing. I can learn how to run a sound system if I don't do nothing but turn it on. Because really, that's all I think y'all ought to do. Quit messing with it and just turn it on. Just leave it like it is. Once we get it right, he happy this week. Don't touch nothing. Just turn it off. I know how to run a vacuum cleaner. We ain't got to pay Darcell Campbell cleaning services if it came down. I know how to run a vacuum cleaner. My wife will tell you, I can clean better than any woman I know. Amen. I can go. Me and Lysol, listen, I don't wear gloves. I get in there with no gloves. I get all down, all in the tube. I came from a house and a bunch of old ladies who like bleach and Lysol and go, it ain't clean in here. My grandmother fussed at all of the men in our family about getting closer. She said, some of y'all need to start sitting down. I know how to clean. Ain't nothing y'all doing. Y'all ain't doing me no favor. I know how to feed people. You don't want to come to feed nobody? Don't come. I don't care. You ain't doing me no favor. I'll go down to the Miles Market just like you can. But if you're doing it for God, you don't shortcut it. You don't get an attitude because we say we need you to do something. You say, this is my ministry. When we ask you to usher, you don't sit there and go, here we go. Why are we going to all these churches? You know, and really, I stopped. You know why I stopped? Let me tell y'all something. Because I got tired of hearing folk whining about ministry. I stopped taking engagements. Because every time I ask the choir about going somewhere, they look like they got a problem with it. I ain't going nowhere with no 5 people in my choir when I know I got 20. I'm not going to be embarrassed. So I said, you know what? I just don't go. People say, Doc, can you come? I said, no, man. Man, we busy that Sunday.
I don't tell them what we're doing because all we're doing is busy being sorry. I just say, no, Doc, we can't come. Only thing I take now is when it requires just me. Because I'm tired of people acting like you're doing me a favor. You ain't doing me no favor. She ain't doing me no favor. You know how many women would be my wife? But she ministers. She understands me. That's why she don't leave when y'all say she should have left. She ain't going nowhere. I'm her ministry. Amen. We didn't do 36. Is it 36? 35. I'm giving myself credit. I'm prophesying. We're going to make one more. We didn't do that because we just, I wasn't doing no favor. Man, I know a pretty woman when I see one. I didn't get blind when I got married, but I understand the ministry. My kids get on my nerve too, but I know the ministry. Ain't doing nobody no favor. Y'all stop thinking you're doing people favors. Serve God. And until you can serve God, you ain't going to bless us. That's why we struggle, stagger, stumble, fall, stagnant, stupid. Because everybody thinking, hey, well, pastor, you ain't doing me no favor. Everything you do it for God. It's time I stop that stuff, man. Listen, you don't need to just read it. You need to start living. He said, listen, that's why, listen to him. He said, in everything we do, we're trying. Some of y'all ain't trying. Some of y'all gave up trying a long time ago. Soon as your feelings got hurt, soon as you got confronted, soon as you got exposed, soon as you got challenged, you stopped trying. And now all you're doing is looking for an easy Sunday to get away from here. You waiting on that one more thing. And it ain't us, because no matter where you go, you still ain't trying. Go to family life then. Go to tree of life. Go to wherever you want to go. You still ain't trying. And all you're going to do is sit in there and not try. Because God is God. And I just read the verse. He said, we're doing it. Why? Because we're ministers of God. You ain't going to do no more for Ray McQueen than you doing for GBC and Leroy Mitchell. Save yourself the agony of going through all of that. I ain't really gone yet. I just, you know, I need a little time. I'm on sabbatical. You can't spell sabbatical. Don't fool yourself, baby. It ain't Brookville. It's you. I don't know this church. This building ain't hurting nobody. It ain't saving nobody. It's going to be here when some of us gone. Stop fooling. Listen, he said, God help me help you. He said, we are trying hard to live in such a way that nobody will be hindered. No, nobody shouldn't say, you go to Brookville, yeah. Oh, y'all got so-and-so over there. How y'all putting up with him? How y'all putting up with her? So we need to check that. And we really need to be honest enough with people and say, Darlene, can I talk to you for a minute? You know, when people talk about our church, they say that you're one of the hatefulest people on your job. How you do that? And you look at me and go, don't worry about what I do on my job. They ain't got nothing to do with the church. Yes, it do. Because verse 5, 6, 7, it says you are hurting the ministry. So when somebody else walks up to them and say, come go to church with me. And they say, where you go to church at? Brookville. And they say, Darlene, go there. You think I'm coming over there with that heifer? Because that's what they're going to say. God ain't going to hit me with bolts because I say heifer. Y'all say it. You ain't dead, is you? He said, listen. Before you can tell them who the pastor is, they know more of the sheep than they know the pastor. There's a whole lot more people know y'all. I ain't from around here. And when I die, I'm going to be like Jacob. I told my children to put their hand under my thigh and make me a promise. Take my bones back to Jacksonville. I don't even want to be buried here. No, sir. Put me somewhere near my father's. I told my son, I said, listen, make me a promise. Because your mama going to be so tore up, she ain't going to know nothing. Have my service there, fine. So the folk can say, oh, poor Reverend. And someone can walk by and go, I outlived him. But put me in a car, cab, or airplane and take me back to my daddy's cemetery. I ain't going to know nothing about it, but son, you promise. Yeah, okay, Dad. And because you die before me, I'll make sure you get buried in a proper place. We're cremating you. Like my daddy said, we're going to spread your ashes all over the yard because you're the yard child. You know what I'm saying? He said, listen, Y'all, listen, I'm trying to help y'all. Because y'all keep getting lied to by false teachers. Come on over to our church. Our pastor, he ain't like that. He don't talk to us like that. You need somebody to tell you the truth. Amen. I don't know about a lot of them their whole life, and then you miss heaven on a technicality. When God says, oh, I know you did works in my name. I read it to you 3 weeks ago. I know you blessed people, you fed people, you get a clothing ministry, you grew a garden, you hugged people and you paid bills, but I don't know you. Because you wasn't a good minister. He said, listen, we're trying to persuade people. We're trying to do everything we know how to do. Because you can't do everything you know how to do just on Sunday. Hey, everybody. Here it is. He said, listen, he said, we are trying to show everybody. We on display. How many of y'all have a window shop? Anybody window shop? Kind of cool, ain't it? Very inexpensive. Really cheap. You understand? They go, ooh, that look good. And they ever go window shop with somebody and say, girl, that's your color. And trust me, ladies, men window shop too. There's always, you know, a couple of brothers. I don't hang out with a lot of people. But, you know, I'm my own encouragement. I stand there and go, oh, yeah, that look good on me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to get me one of them. Yeah. But, you know, I call my guy and say, look, man, I need a suit and I need it this color. And I, you know, and I send them patterns sometimes. I go in the store and flip up the bottom of somebody's trousers and cut me a piece of the material off. And I send it to my man. I say, look, that's what, all right, Leroy, we got you. Yeah, it cost me money then. Once you commit, you got to pay something. See, that's what's wrong with a lot of us. We window shop Christianity. We window shop being in love with the Lord. But then when he said, okay, here's what you got to do. You go, I don't want that. How many of y'all bought something, got home, thought about it, took it back? He said, no, I don't know. I didn't just spend that much money on. Listen, how many of y'all ever bought something and it was really out there and you said to yourself, I deserve this? Amen. And once you, and you looked at it and said, ooh. And then you say, you know what? I got to pay my gas bill. I wanted to take these back. Because you considered the cost. Here it is. That's what a lot of us don't do in Christ Jesus. And Jesus told you to do it. He said, you foolish if you don't consider the cost. Being a Christian is expensive. It taxes the mind. It frustrates the body. I cry about this. And I ain't no sissy. But it matters to me so much that my wife would tell you, sometimes I get depressed on Sunday. How many Sunday afternoons have you said, honey, don't worry about it? Because I said to her, I said, what did I say wrong? I thought I had a good sermon. She said, honey, they just don't get it. How many times have I not eaten my dinner while we sit in a restaurant? Because I'm frustrated. I can't even enjoy my family because I'm thinking about what did I do wrong? Where am I going wrong at? I'm doing everything I know how to do. And they jump, they mad at me. I said, no, God. Mm-mm. And I'm like Jeremiah. I said, God, you lied. I was just talking to, again, down at the minister's conference, preachers, we sit around and talk. I said, man, listen, some days I wonder, why did I ever quit my job? The state police didn't bother me. They loved me. I was their boy. Leroy was the man. They said, Leroy, we need you to do a voiceover. We need you to do a commercial. Because I'm 6'5", quite handsome fella, had my little hat down on my eye. Man, and people down there, you know, y'all didn't, you know, you don't get WRIC and stuff out here. But people said, man, you stay on TV. You know why? Because they saw the value in me. And they knew that I did that thing. They knew I kept my car clean. I kept my shoes shiny. My wife would tell you, I used to come home and change clothes in the middle of the day because I sweated. I sweat, you know. I would go home and change clothes. They didn't say nothing about it. We had guys who stink at the state police. And then where they, listen, we had guys who didn't never change their ties. They had food stains and dirt. How many of y'all ever seen a trooper and went, what? I washed my car as soon as it stopped raining when I was a trooper. I had an arrangement with a little car wash. That car wash right across from where we stayed at, at the hotel on that corner right there that said $3 turbo wash. The lady in there would let me come in and wash my car. She just put the code in. She said, "Hi, Leroy." I said, "How you doing, Joan?" She said, "Go ahead." Soon as it stopped raining. Why? Because it mattered what people saw about what I did. Nobody should have came through the Commonwealth of Virginia and saw dirty blue and gray. I did the same thing in the military. Asked my wife how many pair of boots I had. I still got boots. I got about 9 pair of Cochran's. Now, I know y'all don't wear Cochran's anymore. But Deacon Anderson will tell you, Cochran's were the level of excellence in the military. They issued you a piece of junk boot, but soldiers who cared bought Cochran's and spit shined them. One day I'm going to wear my shoes here. Y'all going to see. And I had how many pair of those things? Now, I said, "You bought more than them." Back then, Cochran's were high. I can't remember what they were. I knew they were up there. How much were they? Yeah. I got 9 pair of Cochran's. Still got them. And every now and then, stupid Leroy, I take mine to shine them. I don't know what's wrong with me. I got a problem about excellence. Ask my wife, in my closet, I still have uniforms hung up. Pressed. I didn't put my state police uniforms in a box. My military uniforms are hanging up in the closet. Like I'm going somewhere. I can't wear them. I went in the closet the other day and looked at my state police uniform. I was a 38. Deacon Walker, a 38. I said, "Boy, you're a 42. Something wrong." Yeah, shut up, Bo. That was not necessary. Wow was not necessary. All you had to say was pray for the pastor. I'm like, wow. And I said to myself, "What is wrong with you?" Because everything I do is kingdom. Don't y'all walk out here another day thinking you're insignificant to what we're doing. Don't cheat yourself. We're going to preach today. What time is it? Ah! But I'm trying to, listen, don't miss this greatness thing. I'm trying to get you fired up to realize you have been chosen by God. Not because of what's wrong with you. It ain't got nothing to do with what your wrestling is. Now, listen, all of us are wrestling with something. Everybody. There are a lot, listen. You are not the one person that God can't do it with. You're not. I don't care what you're dealing with. You are not the one person that can't be saved, that can't be transformed. You are not that bad. Listen, there are people who are worse. And God still says, "I got you." Stop lying to yourself. Stop telling yourself what the enemy is trying to convince you of. Don't let him say that to you no more. How many of y'all ever had that "don't talk about my mama" moment? You know, there are a lot of jokes you can tell, but we don't do mama jokes very well. You know, we even had a little saying, you know, "talk about my daddy, you make me mad. Talk about your sister, you make me sad. But talk about my mama," you know, and that kind of thing. And you know, a little rhyme. You know, y'all had that when y'all grew up? Down south, we make a rhyme out of everything. We were all rappers in the south. You know, step on a crack, break your mama back, you know, that kind of stuff. You are not the one. What's wrong with you is just exposing you so we can help you. So if you're taking that Sunday drug, we need to help you. Get off that drug. You can't be to church on time, but you don't miss your job. Come on, you got a drug. You can go spend money on stuff you know you ain't got no business buying, but you can't tithe. You got a drug. You can love only the people you like, but you can't seem to grow to love nobody else. You got a problem. And we need to help you. And if we help you, it doesn't mean we're trying to tick you off. It says we love you. How many of y'all have been part of an intervention? That's a new word now for setting people straight in the family. We've been doing them. We just didn't call them intervention. Somebody said, "You need to sit your behind down. Let me tell you something." Grandma's did it mostly. And she did it with something in her back pocket. Or uncle standing by the door. So if you raise up, Uncle Joe going to get you. And she said, "Joe, come on in here because this Negro ain't getting it." And Joe said, "Look here, let me tell you something. Mama trying to, you know, big mama trying to tell you something. Don't make me come." You know, that was my daddy's thing. When my daddy would say, "Don't make me that means it's really close now. That means he's not going to be tolerant no more. When he says stuff like, don't make me get you, boy, that means you have gone the last mile of the way. We're not trying to hurt you by saying, look, you need to do this or you need to do that. What we're saying to you is we're qualifying you so you don't miss heaven on a technicality called ignorance, disobedience. He said, listen, we got to do everything we do because we got to be God ministers. Stop fooling yourself into thinking this is about anybody but you and God. I'm just on assignment. And again, you don't change churches. Ain't no need doing that. And listen, next time you meet some of them GBC folk who get to give you this, well, you know, I'm just seeking. I'm just letting the Lord lead me. Tell them what you really need to do is read Corinthian letter that Paul wrote and realize the problem ain't the pastor. The problem ain't the church because this building can't do nothing for us. It's you. You're just not doing everything you need to do. You're not persuading and you're not being persuaded. If you change the way you think, you're going to take the same you to Tree of Life, Good Shepherd, Blue Ridge, White Rock, Diamond Hill. You're just bringing baggage. I got a little saying I made up. Nobody goes on an interesting trip without interesting things in their bag. That's just something I made up. Nobody goes on. How many of you? All right, let me show you. How many of you have ever gone on a little family thing for the weekend and just packed your little family stuff? How many of you, when you go to the beach, pack beach stuff? How many when you go? So when you go on an interesting trip, you put interesting things in your bag. You can tell where people are going pretty much by what they're carrying. Did y'all feel that one? You can tell where they're going by what they're carrying. Some of y'all ain't got nothing in your bag, which means you ain't going nowhere. You're going to die, and I ain't going to lie, and you're going to lie. Because I ain't going to fix it up here. When you laying up here, I ain't fixing nothing. The truth of the matter is, you've got to let us develop you. And we're going to only do it through biblical principles. I'm not going to stand here and read old magazine to you. It's still open, ain't it? Yeah. So he said, what time is it? It's important, okay? Here it is, verse 6, please, of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6. Watch what he says. He said, we have proved ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, our sincere love, and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what we're saying? If God ain't in it, you ain't got to worry about it. He said, well, we proved ourselves. We've been patient. We've endured. We've done all of the right things, but the summary of the matter is the power of the Holy Ghost is our driving force. Because if there is no power of the Holy Ghost, it is of no value. We've wasted time. And how many times have I told you, I don't want to waste your time because yours is precious and mine is too. He said, we have made the right efforts. Go back and look at it. He said, what we've done, if you go back over to chapter 5 and verse 11 through there, he said, God knows we're sincere. We were serious. Listen, if you can't be sincere about God, you are one of the biggest frauds there ever was. You don't have to fake Christianity. You know, we went to a conference I took some leaders to years ago, and the preacher, the instructor stood up and said, I just tell people, fake it till you make it. And I looked at everybody in my group and said, don't y'all ever buy that one. Didn't I do it? I said, don't y'all. I said, of all the things he said today, let me tell you one thing you don't ever want to engage in. You don't have to fake it till you make it. You make it real so you don't have to fake it. You give it up to God. Listen, you commit your way unto the Lord. You don't have to be a fraud. And when you're not a fraud, you don't have to be afraid of being exempt. How many of y'all ever had an IRS audit? Anybody ever had an IRS audit? Me and Tom, the only one? Tom? Oh, coach, okay. Man, they don't play. They send you a letter saying, dear taxpayer, you are cordially invited, which other, in other words, you need to come on down here to attend. You know, and they send a little letter and you say, well, you start thinking of how much the trip to Mexico costs. And if I leave my wife and kids here and I take asylum in Canada, will they be all right? But you go, and they have stuff that you don't even know they have. And what the IRS does, they'll ask you questions that are loaded. And if you say the wrong thing, they go, oh, yeah, really? Well, how about that? Because they know. How many of you know that nobody ever asks you something that they don't already know or have a clue to? So when you go there, they bring up all this stuff. And what they're really doing is exposing and looking for answers. But if you did everything right, they'll say, okay, well, thank you for coming by today. You'll receive a letter from us with our verdict. Because they really, and a lot, and a couple of times, you know, they'll send you back one saying, everything's fine. Or they'll send you one saying, after our examination, we have determined that you owe us. Yeah. Me and the IRS have had a lot of fun over the years. Yes, we have. And the reality is, it's the little mistakes that I've made, or the little mistakes that whoever prepared my taxes made, intentional or unintentional, that put me in that position. And my response is to then do what I need to do to fix it. Ain't no need of me going, ah! You say, okay, what do I need to do? And it cost me a lot of money. I've got a lady that I hired, almost finished with it, that the trustee, you know, a couple of little matters of the matter, you know, and I hired, it cost me money. But she's fixing it. Because she said, who did this? And who did, why would they? I said, ah. But it made me take responsibility for even what I did not know, which means learn. And so when we come into the body of Christ, you can't sit around here and say, I don't want no pastor all up in my business, and I don't want him where, don't worry how I treat my wife, ain't got nothing to do with church. Yes, it does. What I do on my job ain't got nothing to do with Brookville. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because you are a light, and you are out there, and people are looking at you. And you can't tell them, don't look at me. Don't you ever tell your children, do as I say, not as I do. Stop doing what you're doing so they don't have to do it. Don't let them learn bad behavior from you and then you punish them for it. How can you punish your child for smoking and you smoke? You better not let me catch you smoking while you stand there lighting a cigarette. Are you crazy? I wish I would catch you drinking. Honey, we out of Jack Daniels. Are you serious? You better not let me catch you driving my car like a bat out of hell. And every time you go down the driveway, I know I can't say nothing about that. I know. I know y'all thinking right now, Reverend, really? That's why when my kids got speeding tickets, I didn't say nothing, but I got to fix this. I got friends. I called. My baby got a speeding ticket. She came and said, Dad, they got me for doing 67 in the 55. I said, don't worry about it, baby. That's all, 67? She said, well, I was going fast. I said, that's what I'm talking about. You wasn't condoning it, but I know she ride with me. She drive like me too. I passed Candace one day. I'm saying, good God from Zion. Look at my baby. Ain't nothing I can say. Because I can't tell her don't drive. I know how. I take responsibility for it because I said to her, listen, when they get y'all now, and they going to get y'all because y'all don't know what I know. But we're going to deal with it. That's what you got to do. And what I'm saying to you, you got to deal with it. If you're struggling, we just got to deal with it. Until we get you out of the struggle. So whatever it is, don't make that excuse for not being greater, for not being a better. Just say, listen, Pastor, just don't put me out there just yet to the level that I'm not ready for that kind of exposure. And that's why I've said to some of you before, maybe you thought you were and now you found out you weren't. Just step back and say, listen, Pastor, can I talk to you for a minute? Because I realize that where we're trying to go with this ministry, I'm just not ready yet. Pastor, I ain't going to quit, but I need to kind of go sit over here where people can't see me so much. And we'll keep trying everything we know how to try. We'll pray with you, lay hands on you. We'll sit down. But you, if you're not going to be honest with me, I can't help you. If you're not going to be honest with you, you can't help you. You can't spend the rest of your life saying, I don't need to be in no church where they worrying and bothering me. Yes, you do. You want hands-on ministry. You don't want the pastor to just show up when somebody die. You don't want him just to marry you. You want a pastor? That's a pastor. So
so we can grow together.
Paul said we got to be sincere, and we're trying to persuade everybody. Listen, nobody in this room is beyond persuasion. How many of you ever been talked into buying something? And as soon as they left, said, I can't believe I let them people talk me into buying no Kirby vacuum cleaner. I don't need no Kirby. What this Kirby going to do that my Hoover wasn't doing? How many of y'all ever sold stuff to people? Where my salespeople at? Y'all Amway, Tupperware, where y'all at? Thank you. Don't be shy now. You hold your hand like this. He always calling around making all them parties you wasn't shy. Calling everybody you knew, pimping your friends. Because that's what they tell you. Stop with your friends. How many friends you got that eat? Well, everybody knows somebody who eat. Well, they got to put the food away at the time they finish eating. No, yeah, sell them some Tupperware. And you call, girl, I'm having a Tupperware party. Free tuna fish sandwiches. Why do we have to say tuna fish? It's tuna. Everybody knows it's a fish. Why do we say tuna fish? How many of y'all say tuna fish? Come on, raise your hand. Bro, like, come on, man. I just walked in here. And, that, you know, so what my point is, and we done. I got to get to preaching. My point is this. I just told everybody you got a speeding ticket, so your mama going to say something anyway. You know how she can't hold me. That's what she said. I got it from you. She get it from her daddy. And so here it is. What we're trying to say is your character. We're building character. Where my deacons and trustees at? We're never going to build a great church till we build character. So we might as well get ourselves wrapped around the fact that we got some character issues. Look at his name and say, you're a character. That woke some of y'all up. You're a character. Look at another and say, you are a character. You are, yes, sir. Yeah. Okay, I got to stop. Let me mark my paper. Because see, again, what has to happen, and this is the reality. Notice what Paul said. He said, it's our understanding. It's our patience. We've got to make this transition from being just people who take a pill at 8:30 to try to get through church by 11 o'clock and then 1 o'clock. Because some of y'all right now, see, if I kept doing this, some people going to say, I ain't how church supposed to go. I'm the pastor. I decide how church go. I want to do this and say, if I think right now, let's just go home, then go home. Some of y'all be glad. I ain't got to get my money today. But then some people say, wait a minute, pastor, you didn't take up the offering. You know, Deacon Walker has reminded me a couple times about invitation. So, I mean, at least I know he paid attention to that. So, sometimes when I just look at him, I think invitation. Some of y'all I look at and I just go blank. Because y'all could care less. Some of y'all are really excellent students of I could care less. And you shouldn't be like that. We learned in leadership this week, you need somebody to tell you to go for it. You need somebody who will walk in and say, man, Kim, we're so glad you're here. You know, you need somebody who knows how to get you motivated. Somebody ought to know what makes you get giddy up in you. How many of y'all ever rode a horse? You know, our horses know when you kick them what that means? Because somebody kicked them and connected that with giddy up. How many of y'all ever got on a horse and tried to say, giddy up? I didn't know how to make it go. Horses don't have no start button. It's certain things they've learned to make them do what they do. And if you know how to make it, it don't matter who do it to them, they'll do it. How many of y'all got dogs? I mean, real dogs. No. How many of y'all got them kind of dog that you can sick on people? I mean, a dog that'll go get people. You train him to do that. Because if you buy a dog, now, trust me, if you go buy a dog and don't teach it nothing, all it's going to do is eat. Sleep, and you know, how many of y'all got house dogs? We had to train them. Yeah, and now you can say, "All right, time to go outside," and they get excited. You know, and they do that because you trained them. Listen, you train everything in the world. Why can't we train Christians? How can we train everything else and we don't do no good at this? I got two little dogs, two little thing. My wife, they hers. And they little, them dogs know, they smart. If I say, get them, they go get people. They little things, they can't do nothing. All they gonna do is bark. But if they look outside and see something in the yard, they want to go outside. They get the crazy. So you open the door and shoom, they go. And can't catch nothing. They satisfied and they come back. And I say, good boy. And I say, y'all can't do nothing. But they hear stuff. And if somebody come in the yard, they start barking. I mean, way down the driveway, they start barking. I said, somebody coming. I trained them. They don't do nothing in the house. We left them in the house. Like right now, we'll leave. The last one left. And if we stay gone until 7 o'clock, and we've done it. We've gone to other services. They stayed in their place. They will hurt themselves to keep from breaking training. How many of y'all ever got in a tight? You know, you danced. And somebody said, where you going? I'm going to the bathroom. And all you know, you do it to them, you get in there. Why? Because you've been trained not to wet your clothes. Do you see little babies doing that? Why? Because they're not trained yet. Little kids will stand right there and talk to you the whole time and be doing just what they need to do. And then you say, did you just pee? Mm-hmm. My grandson, he's 2 now. He's caught between training and not being trained. So he'll stand there and you said you got to go to the bathroom? No. He said you got to go to the bathroom? No. And then you look at him, he's standing, you can tell, you know. You said, did you just? And you said, come in, he won't come. So you know what happened. Yeah, that little rascal is right there. Just came into church late. So my point is, how can we train everything else and not train Christians? And because when you train, you're satisfied. Now you're comfortable. We got to get to the point where our character has become comfortable to us. When we don't have to beg people to give, they will just give because they know giving is part of their training. We don't have to beg people to worship. You don't have to, where that boy at? He ain't in here yet. You don't have to play the right song. They'll just worship. We don't have to do anything by the clock. We'll know. Because it's our character. And we'll be comfortable in it. And we can go to any church or hear any preacher. Nobody's going to have to beg us to do anything anymore because it's our training. It has become our nature. And we'll love God for real. We won't be casual about God. How many of y'all ever thought you was in love and found out you wasn't? And said to yourself, what a waste of time that was. He or she lied to me. And you said to yourself, never again. You know what, Dionne Warwick, I'll never fall in love again. What do you get when you fall in love? Get enough germs to bust the bubble. And she lied because she got married again. She fell in love. All of us want to be in love, don't we? Love Jesus first, and you can love for the rest of your life. See how simple that is? Love Jesus first. And listen, the right man or woman is not the issue. It's the right relationship with God that changes everything. There you are. That don't count. I might have wanted a key. Paymaster, doc is paid $20. Nah, don't give it done. All right. Did I help you a little bit? I'm going to stop. We're going to accelerate a little bit. We're going to get the praise team to come out and do a couple of songs. Then we're going to go right on in so y'all can stay on schedule. Amen. Can y'all tell I'm excited? Okay. Let's pray together. Let me turn this off.